We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Houthis of North Yemen. The headline in these last hours, Houthis seek more Iranian weapons to step up Red Sea attacks, intel shows. Politico Europe reports, recent intelligence gathered by the U.S. and other Western countries indicates Iran-backed Houthi rebels are seeking more weapons from Tehran, raising concerns that the militant group is determined to continue attacks on shipping in the Red Sea, threatening a wider conflict in the Middle East. Benjamin Talabou, senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, is traveling. He's in Europe. But we begin by addressing the Houthis and how it is that they are working with the Tehran regime. Most importantly, what the motivation is here for the Houthis to take these risks, and so far, how the U.S. and its allies have responded. Benham, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The Houthis are in control of North Yemen and Sana'a, the last time I checked. They have had missile capabilities for many years used in their war with the Saudis and the Saudi proxies. However, the Red Sea attacks seem another universe from those days because of what it's done to the shipping, 20% of all shipping passing through the Red Sea and the Suez. The revenues are down in Cairo. The major shippers have rerouted around the Cape of Good Hope. Insurance rates have gone up. In other words, this is an economic war. Once we spoke of the Houthis before, and we talked about them as risk-takers, also because they're ideologically driven. Right now, the Houthis working with Iran. What is their immediate goal? Good evening to you.
A very good evening to you. Pleasure to be with you again, John. Where there is great risk, as I'm sure you and the audience knows, in the Middle East, there is also great reward. It still very much is go big or go home. And what the Houthis are doing is making good on threats that they had made about a half a decade ago, I would say, to enter any conflict against Israel. And while initially in the aftermath of October 7, they tried to fire at Israel, fortunately, all of their projectiles were intercepted, they're going for lower hanging fruit. And to clarify, the Houthis are the only proxy of Iran in this constellation of forces called the Axis of Resistance that have and have used anti-ship ballistic missiles. You know, these are game changers for patrolling major waterways. Iran perfected this harassment strategy in the Persian Gulf and Strait of Hormuz and has now exported it to its proxy, which bears very, 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 very similar weapons that controls or sits at the helm of the Bab el-Mandeb Strait and the Red Sea. Not just insurance premiums, but even those ships that have to go around the Cape of Good Hope, ignoring this fiery waterway in the Red Sea between the U.S. and the Houthis. The Biden administration has selectively began to strike Houthi targets and apparently has good enough ISR, good enough intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance to be able to identify even some missiles being put on launchers. But the longer the ships and the cargo vessels have to go around these older, longer trade routes, the more fuel is needed, the longer the journey. And the greater the cost in time and in price are going to be transposed onto the consumer in 2024. So the Houthis indeed are affecting an economic war. They're using military means to create an economic crisis to generate political pressure.
In conversation with our colleague Bill Rajah of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies on the podcast Generation Jihad, I highly recommend it. You can find it on the Long War Journal site. You note that the response by the U.S. Navy and other allies has been defensive in nature, striking launch sites, but not going after the leadership of the Houthis, especially what we've come to understand as a DCAP strikes against such as ISIS or such as Al-Qaeda. Why not? What is the hesitation about going after the Houthi leadership?
Well, that would first necessitate having a strategy, a political strategy towards Yemen, or at least a desire to do something vis-a-vis the Houthis. I mean, the administration might come back at someone like me who has such a critique and say, hey, we just designated the Houthis as a specially designated global terrorist organization as maintained by the State Department pursuant to Executive Order 13224. Why are you complaining, Mr. Talablu? And to that, someone like me would say, well, why in God's name do you take them off the foreign terrorist organizations list for the past 2.5 years when they've used child soldiers, when they've fired missiles at population centers, where they've absconded with humanitarian aid, when they've targeted and harassed journalists, when they've harassed religious minorities, when they've impeded Red Sea and Bab el-Mandeb shipping. Oh, and of course, when they've liaised with the world's foremost state sponsor of terrorism and been trained by at least two designated foreign terrorist organizations. What did you accomplish? What political goal did you have for Yemen? What did you turn Yemen into from 2021 to 2024 when you took them off the list? What did you buy? It seems to me the only thing the administration bought is time for the Houthis to rearm with the most destabilizing long-range strike capabilities we have seen in the hands of any proxy in this entire axis of resistance. So an own goal is an own goal. It seems like now the administration is so risk-averse that it doesn't want to do anything beyond going after several things, beyond going after several weapons platforms. And that's because it's cognizant that it does not have a political strategy. And to think that they would create one that would be risk tolerant and not risk averse in an election year when the past track record has been everything we've just said, well, find me that person and let them know about the bridge I'm selling.
The summary in your conversation with Bill Raggio is that the Houthis are not deterred. I understand that. We're looking then at a conflict that doesn't have a quick end or an easy end. So let's speak of Iran supplying the missile parts. We don't know if the full missiles have been supplied, but missile parts. The question then is Iran inviting retaliation for these attacks? They are the source of the missiles. And is there, as suggested in an Economist piece within these last hours, is there reason to believe that the escalation ladder is climbing towards a direct strike by the U.S. on Iranian missile factories?
Well, there certainly is a cacophony of voices, particularly from folks we might know or be friends with or understand their political views and, you know, strategic orientation of how the world is or should be. But I actually think that's somewhat irresponsible. You know, there's no straight line from failing to deter or beat or best or even just counter the proxy of the world's foremost state sponsor of terrorism to being able to successfully deter or beat or best or counter the world's foremost state sponsor of terrorism. It was not then, nor is it now, a question of capability. It is entirely a question of will and interest and the ability to met out punishment over time. And I think until we get that, not near perfect, but until we get that down packed towards an actor like the Houthis, who are still reliant on Tehran, I think it would be a mistake to turn your guns on a much bigger problem set. And I think Tehran knows that, and I think that is what is leading them to be a bit more, shall we say, bold in terms of what they've been doing. If I may just not pivot from the region, but pivot to headlines, you know, there's a major Tehran daily newspaper called Hamshahri. It literally translates to of the same city or someone who is from the same city. It's a major paper. They just had a caricature of Biden with a boxing glove to the head and bandages all over. And the headline above the fold calls America the punching bag of the region, precisely because of all of these skewed response ratios, not just Yemen, but Iraq, Syria, the heartland of the Middle East. So this is an impression that is in the minds of both the patron and the proxy, sticky, that America is not going to respond, or that America responds sporadically. And we have to be able and willing to met out punishment over time. And if we are not able or willing, then we must ask ourselves, is X in our interest or not? Is defending freedom of navigation in our interest or not? Is more Iranian missiles and more battlefields a good thing or a bad thing? And so I really think this is a question of philosophy. Who are we and what do we believe in the end of the day?
In these last hours, there have been attacks by the Iranians from Iran into Syria, from Iran into Iraq from Iran into Pakistan. When we come back, what missiles are being used and what does this suggest or point to for Iranian policy in the region, in the whole of the Middle East? Benjamin Talablu, Senior Fellow for Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's traveling. He's in Europe. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.